Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 10. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turned to the crowd following him. He said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. Amen.
That's not right, is it? That clock, is it working? I was thrown off this morning. Is it working, John? I've got a watch. We're good. So, we're looking at authority today, and the centurion recognizing Jesus is Lord. I think he's become a believer. Maybe not. He definitely recognizes Jesus is the healer and has authority. So we're going to just leave that passage up, please, the whole time, if that's okay. Because we're trying to draw from this passage how we should respond to Jesus and his authority. Do doctors have all authority? I love doctors. I go every week. Not quite. I love doctors, but they don't have all authority. Jesus has all authority. The doctors probably help Mark in lots of ways. But your prayers probably help Mark more. Doctors aren't foolish. They give you what they think is probably going to happen based on what they see. Is it possible that your prayers healed Mark in the hospital? And that the doctors were right what they saw, but then all authority from heaven. Maybe Jesus stepped in. It's good that Mark's cracking jokes. He always cracks jokes. Takes after John. So, we moved here to Manchester, Stockport actually, about 31 years ago. Our daughter was born almost immediately at Withington Hospital. And almost every single day, when my daughter was asleep, I would look at her, couldn't see her breathing, couldn't see anything moving. And I'd have this, what I now know, was a demonic thought. And the thought was, she dies. She dies. And not only would I get the thought, I would have this almost like a panic attack. Anxiety would flood my body. She dies. Please don't let that look. So I start praying. But I'd pray with all kinds of unbelief, really. I wasn't really like the centurion, full of faith, great faith. I was more, oh, please don't let it, please don't. It's okay to beg. The Jewish elders come to the centurion and they beg Jesus to come. It's okay to beg. Jesus says, in fact, ask. Don't get an answer, seek. Don't get an answer. Lord, beg. Keep knocking on the door. We're always to pray and not give up. But this centurion is a brilliant example of authority. So we used to meet in a building in Burnage, on Burnage Lane, Burnage, and it was an old Brethren building that the Brethren Church had let us rent from them, and it helped us start planting churches around Greater Manchester. And anyway, we're at one of our meetings, and a friend of mine had come over from Sheffield, and we were in groups praying for each other. We're going to pray for each other at the end. Praying for each other is an awesome privilege, because Jesus told every Christian, all authority is mine, go. You've got my authority. All authority. So anyway, we're in twos. I'm praying with a Sheffield pastor called Jack. And I tell Jack, every night I get this anxiety attack as I get this thought, she dies. And Jack just kind of laughed. He goes, that's just the devil, Graham. I hadn't realized that. I thought it was me being a good dad. He goes, let me pray. He just went, in Jesus' name, prayed the simplest prayer. I never had that thought again, attack again, temptation again. I believe he tore down a stronghold, looking back, in hindsight, in the name of Jesus, and set me free. Prayer in the name of Jesus is powerful. Calling on the name of Jesus is powerful. Recognizing Jesus is Lord is awesome. And that's what this centurion does. You see, we live in a world right now. A few years ago, you were watching the news thinking, COVID is Lord. No, it seemed to be everywhere. Jesus is Lord. Now, if you watch the news, Trump is Lord. He's got a lot of authority. He's not Lord. I like your prayer. Lord of Lords. King of Kings. But when did Jesus get his authority? Because I think as a baby, he was worshipped by kings. He was worshipped by shepherds. His mother and father, or stepfather, obviously were amazed at the things that were being said. Angels were everywhere. But he didn't do any healings as a baby. As a 12-year-old, we know he speaks amazingly in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. But after that, we see Joseph disappears from the story. So at some point between 12 and 30, when Jesus starts ministering, Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, dies. Jesus didn't raise him from the dead, although Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So when did Jesus get his authority? Well, Luke chapter 4 starts to tell us, and I know you've looked at that passage, but it said when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came on him, and Jesus was full of the Spirit, Luke 4:1. Then Jesus goes, led by the Spirit, and fasts for 40 days. At the end of 40 days, it says, he's still full of the Spirit, but it says, full of power. He's resisted temptation. He never sinned. Not as he grew from a baby into a 30-year-old man. He's never sinned. He never sins. He's God, the sinless one, the perfect sacrifice. But there's a new authority comes on him when the Spirit of God comes on him, and then he starts to preach. Then he goes into a synagogue. Then he casts out a demon. So, and I like it when he goes into the synagogue, first of all, he says, he unrolls the Luke scroll. Well, it wasn't the Luke scroll, of course, because it hadn't been written, but it's the scroll from Isaiah 61. And he reads Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. This is the year of the Lord's favor. there is going to be a day of judgment, but he doesn't mention judgment, which is in Isaiah. He says, now is the year of favour. Until Jesus returns, we're in a time of jubilee, of favour. Forever, until he returns. Then it's a day of judgment. It's too late for the world. So he gets, I would say, authority to heal, authority to save, authority to be freely going about telling everyone he's the Messiah. Up until he's 30, you shouldn't really say just about Jesus, he's just a perfect human being. Although it's interesting, his brothers didn't believe in him at this point. When he goes to his own town, Nazareth, his brothers and the rest of the town don't believe in him. And in fact, in Nazareth, they try to throw him over the edge of a cliff. And we're not told how he does it, he just walks through them. But he moves from Nazareth. I'm sure Mary believed in him, by the way. She was amazed when he was a baby. But he moves from Nazareth to Capernaum, which is where this story is set. We're in Capernaum. And in Capernaum, there were all kinds of things going on. Jesus goes to the synagogue. The synagogue was built by this centurion we're reading about. He financed it. He must have loved the Jews for some reason. We're not told the backstory, but we're told he was kind, he was generous, he was humble, and he loved the Jewish people. Which wasn't true of all the Romans, because they had all authority. You would think, Caesar's Lord, Caesar's in charge of everything. But the centurion here doesn't say, send a messenger to Caesar and say, Caesar, my servant is sick, would you please heal him? Caesar does not have all authority. Trump does not have all authority. He has some authority, and God put him in that place. But God has all authority. God raises kings and leaders, and we're to submit to them as long as they're doing things that don't make us sick. So, Jesus moves to Capernaum, and it tells us in Capernaum, which is where Peter and Andrew, James and John were from, it's on the Sea of Galilee, it's a fishing area, and we're told that Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus goes to the synagogue and casts out an evil spirit from a man. There's an even more remarkable story that I'm sure the whole town heard. I would have thought they would have heard those other things, but they must have heard this story. There's a paralyzed man in Capernaum. And Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. And everyone's out whispering. He can't say that. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Yes. Jesus is God. He can forgive sins. So he says, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or you're healed. But effectively that day, that man was healed and his sins were forgiven. Jesus was announcing himself to Capernaum as the Messiah, the Son of God. I think the centurion heard these stories. He was very connected somehow to the synagogue. I can't imagine that he didn't hear these stories. And when his servant, who he loves, who he values, gets sick, he sends for some elders from the synagogue. He knows it's not really appropriate for Gentiles to go to a Jewish rabbi. He's quite humble considering the authority he has. He could boss anyone around in Capernaum if he wanted to, and he doesn't. He doesn't use his authority to throw his weight around. He's humble. Makes me think he really has met the Lord. He calls him Lord. But he sends the elders of the synagogue. And you may think, well, he bought the synagogue. You know, they're going to do whatever he said. But the Jewish elders, I'm sure, had their own principles. They must have loved this man. They were willing to go. And it doesn't say the elders believed that Jesus was Lord, and the elders believed that Jesus was the Messiah and the healer. But they probably thought, we know that man was paralyzed. He's been in our town for years, and he's not paralyzed now. They must have known that much. And so when the centurion asked the elders, please go and ask Jesus to heal my servant. He's dying. The servant's not just sick, he's dying. He's at the end of his life. And these are the words that the centurion says, which I love. He says, Lord, don't trouble yourself. Halfway through the story, he hears Jesus is coming. He sends servants and says, don't trouble yourself. I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Say the word, my servant will be healed. He totally believes Jesus is Lord over sickness. You've got to say that much from the story. I think we'll meet him in heaven one day. We don't know the centurion's name. But he doesn't want to trouble Jesus. He knew about military rule. He knew if he said to one of his soldiers, go, the soldier would go. The soldier would be punished badly if he didn't do what he was told. I love films, all kinds of films, but Officer and a Gentleman is the film I think of when I think of a drill sergeant and Richard Gere being this beaten down soldier who wants to become actually a pilot, but he's a trainee pilot and he's being beaten down by the sergeant major. And he eventually, the idea is to break his spirit so that he just says, yes sir, how high sir, tell me how high to jump. But it's kind of a lovely film because he doesn't quite humble himself that much and doesn't get broken that much, although there is a degree of him becoming much more a team player through the film. But I love this man who had such authority and yet didn't use it, like that drill sergeant in Officer and a Gentleman. I myself am a man under authority. His ultimate authority, I think, is Lord. I think he's saying, I'm looking to you as Lord. He shouldn't be saying that. He was a soldier under King Caesar, Emperor Caesar, Lord Caesar. They even thought Caesar was a god, some of them. Because the Romans believed in many gods. But they certainly treated Caesar like a god. I'm a man under authority, with soldiers under me. If I tell this one go, he goes. And that one come, he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. He recognized authority. Well, I want to ask you, do you recognize the ultimate authority over our lives? We're made in the image of God. Do you know Jesus is Lord? The centurion seemed to. Doesn't actually say he was saved. Doesn't say he was a transformed disciple of Jesus. But Jesus doesn't say about hardly anybody, I've never seen such great faith. And he's saying it about a Roman who the Israelites would not be impressed. You're talking about them having great faith. Jesus is saying it's going to be for all nations, this good news. It's not just for the Jews. I came first for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Do you know that Jesus is Lord? It might be today you haven't ever said, Lord, here I am. Here's all my sin. Here's all my life. I'm yours. Jesus says this, if you don't know him, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him. See, the centurion said, don't come under my roof, I'm not worthy. That is true, we're not worthy to have Jesus come in. But Jesus says, I'm knocking at the door. Open the door, I will come in. The promise of good news is that Jesus comes into our life and stays forever. And we will dwell with him forever. That's the good news. Eternal life, the minute you believe in Jesus, lasts and goes on forever. So the centurion, in one sense, was overhumble. Jesus was happy to go to his house. He was happy to go into Pharisees' houses and sinners' houses and tax collectors' houses. Jesus loved to be in people's lives. But the point of this story is the humility of this man of authority. Wouldn't it be great if Trump became humble? I can't imagine it. But we don't need that as Christians. Even if he never becomes humble, we've got a humble servant king who said, I didn't come to be served. I didn't come to throw my weight around. I came to serve. What a saviour. What a servant king. Sacrifice for us who pours his life out. So when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I've not found such great faith even in Israel. That doesn't offend us. It would have offended them. They would have been very offended. All the nations are invited. I love the fact, and I pray for this all the time, that when I go to churches, it's not all English people or white people. I got saved in America, and when I was 21, I said, here I am, Lord. Here's everything. Here's all my sin. Here's my life. If you want me to keep playing tennis on scholarship, I will. But if you say stop, I will. If you want me to come back to England, I will. I'm yours, Lord. Best decision you'll ever make is when you say, Lord, I'm yours. Everything changed when you say, Jesus, your Lord, I'm yours. Everything is remarkable. Jesus says it this way, seek first my kingdom. See, we tend to put other things first. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, which he clothes us with his righteousness. It's not my own. I'm not going to be with God because I'm righteous. I am, but it's his righteousness that has clothed me. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. And all these other things, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, will fall into place. Put the first thing first, everything else starts to kind of fall into place, remarkably. But there's a new level of authority that comes to Jesus after he beats death, after he rises from the dead. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He's Lord over death. He's Lord over sin. He's Lord over life. He's Lord over the nations. So after the resurrection, there seems to be even more authority. And now he says, I can give it to you because I'm leaving. But I've got a mission that needs to carry on, and you're going to do it. You're going to pray in my name. You're going to cast out demons in my name. You're going to heal the sick in my name. You're going to see people come to Jesus in my name. You're going to build the church in my name. You're going to love each other and love your neighbour as yourself in my name. What's interesting for me is the Matthew, Mark and Luke, at the end of their Gospels, they all mention a centurion at the cross. It's not the same one, I'm sure, because he was in Capernaum. This one, this centurion, there were many centurions, is in Jerusalem. And he's not a believer. He's not calling him Lord. He was there probably in charge of the soldiers flogging Jesus. But then when Jesus dies, and the manner in which he dies, and when he says things like, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. The centurion says this, surely this was a righteous man. In one of the other Gospels it says, surely this man is the Son of God. Yet another Roman bowing down to the Lord of Lords. Once again recognizing it's not Caesar who's Lord, it's Jesus who is Lord. So he says to us, all authority. I'll just give you some quick examples of how all authority works. We had a teacher in Manchester who had been signed off on sickness benefit. He was in his 50s and he had ulcerative colitis and would wake up every morning with no energy and then maybe had a bit of energy later in the day. But he just asked quite regularly, probably every 2 or 3 months, he'd come forward for prayer and he always asked me to pray for him. And I'd pray a simple prayer. I'd say, in the name of Jesus, ulcerative colitis, leave Ken's body. Simple prayer. I'm not the healer. He's the healer. Amen. You don't have to pray a long prayer. In the name of Jesus, command what you want to happen. Anyway, after about a year of probably 4 lots of prayer, he comes forward again. I say, oh no. I never get any victory with Ken. Anyway, comes forward, simple prayer. And next day, Ken said, I've woken up with loads of energy. I think I'm healed. I said, well, that's great. Didn't really have great faith like the centurion. Didn't think he was healed. Later, a week later, he says, I am healed. It's completely different. 2 weeks later, he writes to the sickness benefits and tells them he thinks he's well. They stop his benefits. He's then suddenly, oh my word, what am I going to do? And he starts praying for a job. He used to be a teacher and he gets a teacher's job. He was completely healed. Not because of my great faith, but because we've got a great Saviour who's a great healer, who's the King of Kings. So I want us now, just to, wherever you are, you might want to move, but let's pray for each other. And just ask a simple thing. What can I pray for you? Well, every time I see my little baby, I think she dies. Oh, it's just the devil. In Jesus' name, I break her. Pray simply. Maybe move around, but we're going to finish by praying for each other. Lord, pour out your spirit as we pray for each other now. And in the name of Jesus, hear our prayers. Amen. To move around. Let me turn this off. Otherwise.